Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Games Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is in that other box. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
It's a big day, Stephen.
It's a big day.
I've noticed whenever we postpone a Sunday to Monday, something massive seems to happen. Where it's like the world knew. Oh, they're not doing their show today. Let's wait. Let's hold off until tomorrow for this bombshell to go off.
Honestly, we would have probably had to do another show.
Right, because, you know, we've had times where we get like a digital event with some news droplets here and there. And never like, oh, should we cover that? Nah, we'll wait for the actual show proper at the end of the week. But if this had happened, let's say, Tuesday or Wednesday, we would have done a full show because it's that massive.
This week is one of those like perfect storms where everything that could have been on the dock is now off the dock because there are only really two or three things that are big enough, like they just kind of take the stage on their own. And I want to do them due diligence. But folks, speaking of due diligence, let me tell you why you're here. This is the Dual Screens Games Cast. This is a show where Andy and I, we go over the biggest gaming news that we want to talk about. And we talk about it and we yell at each other and we have a nice spirited debate. We are, of course, of dualscreens.com, where you can go for reviews, previews, and all sorts of fun stuff. And this show posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com. And of course, the video version goes one day after the Twitch version, which we record live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. And you can watch that on YouTube at youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Please, 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 guys, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a review. It helps the show get more eyes. It helps the algorithm. And if you are watching it right now on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. Please hit the thumbs up because that also helps get this channel and these videos recommended to other people. We are in the middle. Actually, we kind of wrapped up our PAX Online coverage, which if you want to see us do a handful of interviews, play some games, you could also go to that YouTube channel. Please hit the thumbs up. I have a lot to talk about as far as that goes as well. Before we get on to the show, let me tell you about our other show, our flagship show, and that is the Dual Screens Podcast. That's an interview show where we have industry guests, we have indie devs, voice actors, artists, programmers, anybody who makes video games, especially indie video games. We want them to have a place to tell their story, and that's the place for them to do it. And that show posts each and every Thursday on the same exact podcast network. You don't have to subscribe anywhere else. You just look. The way it is the person's name, the guest, their game, and then the number of the episode, and then Gamescast is just what the Gamescast episode is. So you know what show you're listening to at any given time. Again, please consider leaving a review. It helps the show out tremendously. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Just like our brand new patron, Mary. Thank you so much for supporting us, Mary. And just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul, we cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So thank you. Thank you so very, very much. And of course, remember, folks, $1 gets you a bonus episode every month in which you vote the topic and you get to hang out in our VIP Discord and hang out with us and our indie dev guests. We have a bunch of guests lined up coming in very soon.
Way too many. A lot
of people said they would join, so we're just waiting for them to do so. We might have to get them a new link, but they are coming in. Mm-hmm. All right, Andy. It's time for everybody's favorite future t-shirt, The Adventures in Gaming. Andy, what have you been playing?
So I could talk about two awesome games that I picked up recently, and that's Spelunky 2.
Yeah.
And Hades.
Hades is... I can't believe that game's 2 years old.
Hades, oh my God, I think Supergiant does incredible work in the industry. This is just the culmination of all their experience. It is. I thought that my favorite game based on Greek mythology was God of War. This may have usurped that throne.
Wow, okay.
Single-handedly. Cool. Or, you know, Spelunky, I could say it's an additional masterpiece. It's a great game. It's an even better sequel to the first in more ways than one. But there is a game that one of our listeners brought to my attention this weekend that took up way too much of my time. And yes, Oh My is right. And that game is Midnight Castle Succubus DX.
Yeah.
It was a game. Okay. Hold on. Let me say it. It was a game with the best elevator pitch, and that was, it's Castlevania 2, but with hentai. Mm-hmm. It is literally that. It is a classic retro sprite-based game with a female character with a whip. She has a dagger. She has a holy water type thing, a little boomerang action. She fights demons. And there's captive girls, demons, 8-bit, who are being raped and fondled and molested. And you got to save them. And it's super graphic. And I would say, as a gay man, it wouldn't be up my alley normally, because it's, I don't care for those parts, so to speak. But seeing sprites used in such a brilliant way.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's hard not to recommend this game. Just keep a Kleenex nearby. It's $11 now on Steam. And I just I just got to read the developer's, like, mission statement, or their slogan, as it were.
Please do.
That's Critical Bliss, the publisher, is a rapidly growing developer / publisher that focuses on releasing raunchy, fun, and unique hentai games internationally. Just make sure to keep your keyboards clean.
Yep.
Once again, brilliant.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know exactly who's buying these games.
Listen, but Steven.
Yeah.
Whatever list I wasn't on before, I'm on it now.
Well, this is good. This is good. Just shoot for the stars. Shoot for the stars there, Andy. You have to. You have to. All right. So what I've been playing a couple of games, too. I played more PAX Online demos. I spoke about a couple last week, but I have been playing Darksburg, which is one of our most recent interviews, which is a pretty cool game. I feel like, so I'll just give everybody who doesn't know what it is. It's essentially it plays like Diablo, but it's procedurally generated, and it's more about surviving the level and getting out of the level. And it's less about story. Mm. It's less about gear. It's actually not about gear at all. It's about the party. It's a 1-4 player cooperative game. There is PvP as well, but it's a cooperative game where you pick your character who's has specific abilities, but the party shares experience. So as soon as you all do enough, you'll level up, and you pick one of three random skills or improvements to skills or modifiers to skills, as it were, as you play. So every playthrough that you do is going to be a little bit different, but the game doesn't have a long-term investment. So, like, I'm not going to be a I forget her name, not Isabel, Abigail. I'm not going to be an Abigail player, because my Abigail will always be different every time I start a game over again. You could obviously, continue a game and continue a run and continue on a path, but it's really just about getting through the levels that they created. I haven't beaten whatever the mode is. I've gotten only a few levels in. They should definitely need controller support, because right now you could play it with a mouse only, with a couple of powers on the keyboard, or you could play with WASD, and then you could, like, map your abilities. You get four skills essentially, and you kind of just mix and match what you're gonna do. But it's really cool. Like, it's I think the art style, the graphics, the UI, everything is really high production value. But I feel like they came to the conclusion that this was the game they wanted to make way too late in development, so they haven't had really enough time to kind of make it so that it seems like a AAA game. It looks like a AAA game, but it doesn't necessarily, or not AAA, but it looks like a high production value game, but it doesn't necessarily play like that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've played it.
Did you play it a little bit?
I played it. It reminded me that I can't play with a mouse and keyboard that well as I thought I could, because I was always like, where the fuck is Q and W and E? And okay, cool. I'll wait for the console version. I like the idea behind it. Less gear-based loot and more on your abilities. It's got some decent challenge to it, or again, the mouse and keyboard are huge obstacle for me, unfortunately.
Sure.
But I love the idea. It's a straight up like a two-player co-op game. You could do I was playing offline for a bit with an AI partner. Right. Horrible that way, because they were of no help to me at all.
Yeah, my AI partner would not take a potion, would not heal, would just sit there and just whack away at anything that was nearby, which was fine because we were doing plenty of damage, but like I couldn't figure out how to heal her. Like, I didn't have a healing skill. I was throwing a squirrel at people. Like, I wasn't like, I don't know. She was a nun, for God's sakes. Like, you would think that she would be able to heal herself.
Like, oh, that's her class. Cool. Help me, sweet Mary.
You can only pick up like one healing item at a time, and then you use it, and then you move on, kind of thing. It's got some baffling sort of gameplay choices there, but I can't deny that it's fun. You know, right. it's basically Vermintide Diablo.
Yes, and it was a game that we played at PAX East 2019, and it was a game where we both came off of it like, okay, this is interesting, but it's a kind of a pass. For us,
right,
and it's sort of evolved, and it grew up a lot in the last year, and now it's like, okay, this is again, I'd actually spend a lot of time with.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you like Diablo-esque games, you like roguelike games, you like action RPGs. I mean, it's what is it, $20?
It's super cheap. You know.
The other game that I played the demo of, and I just can't get enough of this game is Infernax.
Oh, it's over too soon.
I actually played it completely. So there's Infernax is a basically Castlevania game.
It's Castlevania 2.
Yeah, it's Castlevania 2. with absolutely brutal animations, brutal death sequences. The enemies are absolutely grotesque.
It's bathed in blood, that game.
Bathed in blood, bathed in gore. It has probably the best score, like that I have heard in like 8-bit or whatever chiptune score in such a long time.
Well, you know, these are the guys that made Just Shapes and Beats, dude. They know what they're doing in the sound department.
This game. So the cool thing about this game is that there are branching paths. Like it's a little bit like Zelda 2, I feel as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of Zelda 2 in there as well, but like there's branching paths. You could do things a little differently. For example, there is a suffering person that you can choose to end his life, or you could choose to pray for him. And depending on what you do,
what is this, something slay or pray? Is that the option it gives you?
Slay or pray, slay or pray. And I'm not going to spoil it because I think everyone that has a strong stomach and loves these kinds of games should absolutely 100% try this demo out or the game. Infernax, dude, the boss fights are fantastic. I had such a blast. I cheesed it, though. Did you figure out the cheesy way to beat the boss?
No, I used pure skill to beat the boss.
Oh, I just went behind him. Yeah. So you went, so the boss like dives back and forth, like uses the blue fire thing.
Yeah.
If you go to the left, he'll always stop right there and look the other way, and you just go behind him, jump up, and hit him in his dumb eye over and over and over again.
If you're cheesing the first boss,
hey, it let me do it. Like, okay, I guess that's what I'm gonna do now.
Also, did you buy a magic spell when you were playing the game?
The lightning.
So I played through twice. I got lightning the first time, then a heal spell the second time. I think it's a interesting random spell.
Cool. Yeah. It seemed like there was definitely an element of randomness in there as well. But the thing that I found really that this game does really well is it doesn't give you cheap enemies, especially this early on. Like, you don't have the Medusa heads that are a pain in the dick. Like, you have the little floating eyeballs, but they're easy to kill. You can track them. But you can get them. Oh, I'm sure they are. And then when you get into your first quote-unquote dungeon, it ramps up difficulty a little bit, right? But then it's not a continuously ramping difficulty, because then you get back into the overworld and it's still like your normal platforming, you know, exploration, killing bad guys kind of thing. So I just think it's a wonderful game, and I cannot wait to play the whole thing because I'm having an absolute blast. And that's Infernax. I've been playing Among Us a lot with friends. They actually updated the game, Andy.
Did they?
They fixed the servers on a 2-year-old game. They added letters to the server things because you were getting a lot of people just invading servers. I've had several people now come to my stream just so that they could ask to play with me.
Because they can't get another servers. What broke the dam on this? Because this game was relatively in the unknown.
I think it was Dr. Lupo.
Okay, because someone must have played it recently.
Somebody did a stream.
Right.
And I know Dr. Lupo did an Among Us stream on television.
Oh.
He was on TV playing Among Us. Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. It's a weird thing that's happening in life.
Okay. Of all places to do a stream.
Yeah. All life right. is life is weird. Okay. But whatever. I've been having a blast with it. I love it. I love killing my friends. I love lying. And
I told you it feels good.
Indeed. All right, let's go into our indie news report, which of course is all about the rest of our PAX Online coverage. We interviewed the developers behind Ghost Runner, Andy, and that looks like a fantastic video game.
That's also last week's update.
Oh, that was last week's update. You're right.
But I have one for this week.
Okay, good. It's not in the dock, which is where it should be. But yes, if you haven't heard, if you're here and listening for the first time and you didn't see our coverage from PAX Online, go check out the Ghost Runner interview because you will be blown away with the amount of work that they put into this game. And this game looks dope.
But it's a good place for a plug for the rest of our PAX Online coverage with 30XX, No Place for Bravery, Bark was a fun one too, and of course the aforementioned Darksburg. But there is a bit of indie news this week, and that is the aforementioned, again, Hades has reached 1 million sales already.
1 million
Holy sales. Shit.
And let's put this into perspective.
Right.
It's a 2-year-old game, essentially. Mm-hmm. Well, it was out for like a year and a half in early access.
Well, it was the Epic exclusive when it first came.
Right. Yeah. When it was out of early access, I don't remember. But was this game also on Game Pass?
No, I think it's only out for Steam, Epic, and Switch at the moment.
Okay, because I've seen people playing it a lot before the Switch release, and I was wondering if maybe it was like a free thing.
It could have been the Epic version.
I don't know. There were a lot of people playing it.
In any case,
it looks dope, though.
It's already sold 1 million copies, and if you play this thing, Steve, and I think you should, I recommend it. It's only $20, again, just like Darksburg. It is the most addictive combat, and it's a roguelite, but it encourages you to die because it actually... It's all part of the story. It's all woven into it.
Mm.
And like I said before, I think it's the best Greek mythology inspired game I've ever played. And I play a lot of them. But yeah, 1 million. So congrats, Supergiant Games. Huge achievement.
Supergiant! We need to get you guys on the show.
Oh, they've already been emailed twice. And I was told by Greg Saban, we'll get back to you in a year. And that was last year. So Greg, if you're listening, I'm sure you're not, but if you are, your time has come.
Start listening. All right, Andy, it's time to get into our dual screens report. We have four stories that we're going to discuss
today. Oh, my Lord.
And the first one, we're going to lead off right with the PlayStation 5 showcase. Let's recap this bad boy because it was a barn burner. Oh, Lord. And then there was a bunch of bullshit that followed. So I would love to go over this with you, Andy.
So I think we should mention on the onset of this situation that Steven and I had some information prior to this digital showcase, and that was the first game shown, FF16.
Yeah.
So for those who are listening and watching now on Twitch, we have connections. We know the people.
We know some people.
We don't brag about it beforehand.
I bragged about it.
I'm sure you did.
I bragged about it.
But what a way to start a show, Steven. FF16, how amazing did this look to you? It got me so excited.
It definitely, like, I'm loving the tone. I'm loving the combat. I'm loving everything I'm seeing. The people seem to be transforming into summons as opposed to, you know, just asking for summons help or whatever.
Help me.
This game looks like it's going to be dope. And I'm actually kind of shocked that Square would do the console exclusivity thing, whether it's timed or not. Right. They didn't say timed. It didn't. And we know that when they did
They were asked, and both very vague on purpose, I imagine.
Yes, but at the same time, the previous the Final Fantasy VII remake, they never said. They did say from the beginning it was timed, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it's just like Sony's like, don't say it's timed yet, kind of thing, because Sony had a lot of damage control to do after this thing, which
we'll get into it in a minute, because that's how you deflate a fucking event in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so this is, of course, by the same guys that essentially salvaged Final Fantasy XIV with A Realm Reborn.
Mm-hmm.
On what was, I want to say, if I recall correctly, on spare change. They had a spare change budget, and they saved that game from the ashes. And now they've been given a proper budget and an actual, the next FF installment proper. And you can tell, because it got a little bit of a, is that a 14 expansion? Because you can tell by the way the animations look and the character design.
So the character designs are very Final Fantasy 14, but they're not, it doesn't seem to be set in the same universe. Like, 14 is set in the Ivalice universe, in Ivalice, I believe.
Yeah.
Wait, is that right? Yes, it's the same as 12 and Tactics, I believe, are all, those three are set in the same sort of universe with like the rabbit people and like all that
The same races and what have you.
Yeah, the cat people, the rabbit people, all that
cat
stuff.
People.
It's your people. I'm not. I love Final Fantasy. I don't remember a fucking thing about any of them. I've beaten several.
I remember
nothing,
dude. Listen, that's our next show. By the way, it's you and I try to remember a game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Andy and Steve Remember, or do they?
What was Final Fantasy VIII about? Amnesia and
they
witches.
Were in school. They were in school.
There was a school.
And there was a fucking a cave with an infrit. I think.
And then there was a Diabolos in the magic lamp. And there was a haunt. There was a spooky train summon.
Yeah. There was
that. Time traveling witches. That's what it was.
I think they had guns that were also swords.
Yes,
I don't know.
This is true.
I don't know. So yeah, dude, I'm all on board. Like I was hoping that they were going to shift to classic medieval style fantasy, high fantasy.
Oh, it's pure fantasy,
but they kept the modern combat, which I absolutely love, of 7 remake and 15. Like, it kind of looks like they're like a combination of both.
There's some warping going on in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's super dark. Like, this reminded me, I mean, there's blood.
Blood
on a child's face. This reminded me more of like 6/3, whatever.
Vagrant Story
tone.
Kind of tactics. Or like, what was that one on the PSP? Then it went to PlayStation 4, Type O, that game.
Yes. Yeah.
Type Zero.
I didn't play it, but I remember, yeah. It just had a very dire, like all Final Fantasy games are like, oh, the end of the world is coming, we have to save it. Ooh, but a lot of it's camp.
Big evil.
They did not have camp at all. It's almost as if they said, hey, you guys remember 15, which was just a big fucking joke?
Remember the boy band game we did? Fuck that.
We're doing the opposite. We're gonna make this like Tolkien, like dark. There's evil. There's some shit going on.
And there's like
war.
There's like some time skip, because we've seen only one main character who starts off as a younger sort of protector of this young boy, Joshua. Then we see him older with the mark on his face going after Shiva's, they call it dominance, I guess, who owns the summon in this game's universe. So I'm intrigued by it. It's a lot. It's like, it's not fucking around. Like you said, it's a lot darker, grittier. And I'm ready for
make it make sense, please.
Hopefully,
just make it make sense.
Also, I would like to like virtually slap everyone that said, "Oh, it's like Game of Thrones." I'm like, Game of Thrones, no, not everything that has fucking medieval kingdoms and sparring
in English accents.
Yeah, no, it's not Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
it existed before Game of Thrones, people.
Yes. So, okay. Do you want to get into the whole PS5 PC?
Right, because I think that was the only main. Well, there was one more major announcement at this event. would be
well, no. All right, let's cover the event, and then we'll go back to what happened after all on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right, so let's keep going down the list.
Let's be honest. I think it was just Final Fantasy. We got some updates on some things we've seen before at this event. There was Oddworld. We saw a nice, for the first time, Demon Souls gameplay.
Yeah, we saw a lot of Demon Souls, which is confirmed now as a launch title. On day one launch, we also saw more Miles Morales, which looks fucking incredible.
We did.
Which is, again, also launch. They are combining, they're giving you that with Spider-Man PS5, the original, the PS4 game, the PS5 version with all the enhancements, which you can get if you get the Ultimate Edition, which would be, I think, $70. The Miles Morales itself is going to,
my camera!
Is going to be $50. Which is another discussion. Is
priceless. You should just cut that. Cut that voice sample out. It was the ghost.
So we have that. We had Devil May Cry 5 remastered, which which doesn't look like the same game. I don't know. You played 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in a ton of groups, and a lot of people were saying that this game looks like they are throwing way more at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's more going on the screen. It's not just upscaled. Like it looks like they may have put in more AI, more like they're making use of the horsepower a little bit differently than some games have before, which is interesting. I used to be a Devil May Cry guy. Maltese could attest to that. I loved Devil May Cry back in the day, but like they just went too hard on the grading me on my shitty combos.
I think
so. I stopped playing.
I think for most fans, if you were there with the series up until part 3, which was I think the best of the entire franchise, and then 4 and the remake kind of you lost your way with it. 5 brings you back in a huge way. And then now seeing Virgil as a character and his moves look incredibly slick.
Yeah.
I think if you didn't play it for the first time for current gen, get it now for next generation.
Perfect.
You will thank yourself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we got that. Mm-hmm. Resident Evil Village.
We got Fortnite. Oh yeah, Resident Evil Village.
Resident Evil Village, which looks really cool. Like it looks like they're doing something a little bit different with how they're going to be telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of like what appears to be modern setting, clean modern setting, and then like the grungy like shack type shit.
Did you
see
that weird like bedtime story part where it was like a weird?
Yep. I thought it was a different trailer.
Right. It was like some Tim Burton Pixar joint for a second going on in those parts. But I like how once it's free from the umbrella shackles, Resident Evil, and it tells like these little like just isolated stories.
Right.
Even though it still stars Ethan from part 7, because he was a great character, and you have now Chris back, but in a more dramatic fashion. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's not just all bioweapons and government agencies and Wesker with, you know, giant arms.
This feels like, hey, the T virus and the G virus, whatever they were called, I think it was G and T.
Yeah.
They're a thing.
They were.
They happened, and now here's what the repercussions are.
There's some fallout, yeah.
Of everything that happened kind of in these little pockets of Americana and around the world. Like that's kind of like what I like about it. It's almost like when you're in Fallout and you get outside of the vault and you go explore in like a random direction and you come across this like tiny civilization of crazy people. Like that's what it feels like. It feels like they're so far removed from what we know of Resident Evil, but they're still dealing with it in their own way. And Andy,
yes.
On twitch.tv/batchild, I have a community goal that if they can get 500,000 bat points put into it, I will play Resident Evil 7 on stream.
How soon can I do all those points for you? And
can you can only do,
it's 500,000. You said
it's 500,000 and you can only do 2000 points a day. Like each person could only put in 2000 points.
Can you make it a million? They're almost, if you make it a million, I'll buy you a PSVR so you can play it in VR.
Oh my God. No, I'm scared. I'm scared. That would be the worst stream ever.
I'm scared.
It would be like, we're live and okay. Ah, and end stream. Boom. I would yank the PlayStation off the fucking desk. I'd be so terrified.
Throw your move controller at the TV. My wrist straps weren't in.
Exactly. Yeah, my wrist straps. I have a Move controller somewhere. I don't know
where. Yeah, I never thought I'd want to see what a grounded Resident Evil game looks like, because who wants it? I want, like, you know, this high science fiction and mutations and shit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
After 7, with the whole, like, Chainsaw Massacre family kind of vibe going on with it, with the cabin feel and that, I'm ready for 8's next version of that storytelling. I'm so here for it.
We'll see. We got a... Let's see. Let me scroll down a little bit.
Fortnite.
We got Fortnite, which is going to have some ray tracing, which is out now. Oh, we got Hogwarts Legacy.
Can I confess something before you talk about Hogwarts?
Sure.
So the Fortnite happened, and there was a siren. And I was like, oh, it's a siren. It's Silent Hill siren, right? And it was Fortnite, and I wanted to die.
Yeah. You did it to yourself.
I did.
We got Hogwarts Legacy, yes. Which kind of
finally saw that,
which looks really good. There's a there's all people saying don't buy the game, buy whatever. I'm not going to get into that stuff. J.K. Rowling's a piece of shit, not a piece of shit.
What?
I don't fucking know.
You know, listen. First of all, she's not involved with it, for starters.
No.
You could have a whole discussion on why she is or isn't a piece of shit. People are just insane. That's all it boils down to, more or less.
Sure.
But the game looks fun. So I think if it's well reviewed and it's not a games of service, maybe I'll buy it.
That I was just gonna ask you, does this look like a games of service?
I don't know. Maybe I'm scared.
Yeah, I know, right? We need more information, but it looks kind of like it.
We do.
Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War looks ridiculous.
Dude.
That looks ridiculous.
Not a Call of Duty fan.
I don't mean just looks wise. I mean like the shit they were showing you was just ridiculous.
I was like, am I playing Call of Duty again? I think I'm going to have to. It's been too long. Yeah. This is going to have to be it.
Deathloop looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Deathloop, of course, is going to be in the news a little bit later on.
Yes, it will be.
Oh, boy.
Fucking big way.
Five Nights at Freddy's. I don't know why that was in the show.
I thought it was Silent Hill, but moving on.
Uh-huh. Then we ended... on, well, we got the price, which we know now is $4.99, $3.99, and they said
it's
gonna come out. Mm-hmm. Yep, it's coming out the 12th in the US, Japan, Canada, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea, and the 19th of November everywhere else. And it'll be $4.99 and $3.99 for the discless edition. Will be $3.99, and then we ended on a little teaser of God of War Ragnarok.
Oh boy. And then I saw snow and I was like, wait, Silent Hill? Could it be Silent Hill?
Could it be Silent Hill? Now, after this.
Wait, let's hold Jeff on. Jeff Keighley. You can't gloss over God of War. That was kind of a big deal.
I mean, it is, but
you know
what's
happening, it's nice seeing a confirmation.
What happened?
And coming
after,
in 2021 also is the big get about that.
Right. They said 2021, which. Right.
It's going to get delayed. I'm calling it right now. You can bookmark that.
Unless what we're about to talk about is something that's happening.
Okay, so a whole lot of good happened, and then there was a clusterfuck.
So super excitement. Then Jeff Keighley says, hey, pre-order information is going to be coming out soon, effectively. Then Twitter went nuts because GameStop UK or GameStop in Europe or whatever. Yeah. Whatever it is, GameStop or whatever they call it over there, EB Game, I forget what it's called, game.com, whatever.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
They went live early.
Right.
So people started to get their PS5s instantly, like within a half an hour after the conference, hour after the conference. Mm-hmm. Then GameStop United States went early. This is at like 6:15 p.m.
They were like, fuck you, you want to piece the action too, bitch.
Then Walmart went live.
Yeah.
Which is where you and I got
Walmart on Twitter was like, no, we'll see about that, Sony. We're doing ours now.
Right. Then Best Buy went live. Then Target went live.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then they said, oh, pre-orders will be live tomorrow. Which wasn't what happened.
Dude.
So everyone's mad at PlayStation and Sony.
Could you imagine? How do you go from, oh, we'll give you, it won't be at a moment's notice. We'll give you enough time to prepare for this. Even if things went according to plan, a day is what you give people for your moment's notice? That's all you give them? One freaking day to prepare to pre-order your system?
So,
and on top of that, those promised slots that were sent by mail on the on your PSN ID. Next. Yes, go ahead. Yes, get into it.
PlayStation, as we know, had a sign-up thing on their website that you use your PSN ID.
Yeah, it was like a raffle.
And it was a raffle, whoever, and then you got picked to pre-order a console. Yep. Nay.
Maybe,
that's not what it was. It was a chance to pre-order. When you got selected, you had to wait. And then when you got your time in, you then had to buy.
Dude,
and if you didn't buy fast enough, you lost it.
The exact language said you were guaranteed to pre-order if you were selected. How do you fuck that up?
Bots, I'm thinking. But anyway, okay,
scalpers.
So
I'm going to get you.
So, another bit of news before we get into more of how PlayStation fucked this up, or the retailer specifically, but then there's things that PlayStation did directly fuck up. In between there was an article about a bot maker who was able to create a algorithm that was able to purchase up, one person purchased 35 PS5s, one person purchased 14. So they were all out there. The pre-orders are out there for $1,000, $1,200, whatever it is.
I've seen eBay listings for $1,500.
Yeah. So that happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to tell my story. So when I saw that Walmart had it, you looked and you saw only the digital one, right?
Correct.
So I was like, I'll get the digital one. I'll wait for the other one to come up, but I'll get the digital one and I'll let a friend buy it off of me because I know we're all going to be scrambling, right?
Of course.
So I go in, I don't have a Walmart account. So I went in as a guest. I put in my debit card. I hit the thing, the wheel's spinning. Kicked me out. Try again. Fuck. Did it again. Eventually it kept kicking out. And then boom, it said sold out. I was like, fuck. So I control F5'd the page.
Mm-hmm.
It refreshed. It kicked digital out and had the physical one there. Mm-hmm. That's when I texted you. I was like, physical one's there.
We were both
like, I know,
in the
I got
chat,
it.
Like, it's time. Right. We should do this.
So I went in, boom. And this time I used PayPal, went in right away. Didn't even have to try it twice. Boom. Here's your confirmation number. It'll be delivered on the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Awesome. See, 1 hour later,
oh
I check my phone.
Oh boy.
I have a charge on my debit card for the digital edition and my PayPal charge. I spent $1,000 on PlayStation 5. Now, hold on. Turns out Walmart put a hold on the funds.
That's how they do it. Yeah. You're not charged until you have to actually ship out the product. That's their policy.
Well, you would think that.
Sure.
It's not when they ship, it's when they process.
Right.
Because my transaction never finished, it's just sitting in processing limbo. They said it could take up to 2 weeks for it to get finally released as a non-sale.
They have your money.
I said, are there any chances that you can push it as a sale? Question mark. You're like, no, unfortunately, we can't do that.
No,
so they still took my money. It's still pending, though, as a transaction. It's not an approved transaction.
Mm-hmm.
But the PayPal one was approved. It has been paid for. The funds are out of my account. They're not pending. They're not on hold. They're out.
Perfect.
So the console's coming. Now, let's move on to another little bit of event here.
This is the most upsetting of all. I don't like this one bit.
Okay, then. All right, then you take this part, because I don't know which one you're going to mention.
Oh, the whole Spider-Man Horizon bullshit.
Oh, yes. Then we find out that through PlayStation blog, after the videos, after all the pre-orders went crazy, that people were buying the pre-orders, that Spider-Man Miles Morales and Horizon Forbidden West
and Sackboy Adventure
whatever, who cares, are coming to PlayStation 4,
mm-hmm,
as well as PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Interesting for you to drop that information after everybody spent their money on pre-orders. Then we see at the end of the trailers for Final Fantasy and Demon's Souls,
mm-hmm,
we see console exclusive PlayStation 5,
mm-hmm,
little text on the bottom, also on PC.
Yeah, that was the Final Fantasy had the console exclusive bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the listing for Demon's Souls also had this.
They had then PlayStation exclusive, but with the PC thing at the bottom.
Right. But
mm-hmm.
just 24 hours after people were saying, oh, these games are also coming to PC. That's cool.
Right.
Sony put a cease and desist on all of that bullshit and said, and basically went to all the news outlets saying, that's wrong.
Human error.
Alert. We have pre-order consoles coming out. Alert. We can't tell people that yet. Alert. So everybody had to redo the trailer for it no longer has that text. They had to re-upload the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
All of the articles that were written that said it was also coming to PC are now saying that is console only.
Mm-hmm.
There's no literature about whether or not all these games are coming to PC or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be that they don't plan on it coming to PC and that they just told them, like, oh, yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
Well, listen, Sony owns the Demon's Souls IP. It's their franchise. So if it goes on PC, it's 100% their decision to do so, like Horizon did. Totally fine.
Right.
But, you know, I could see it being to bolster the launch sales. Like, it is the only next-gen launch game coming out across the board, I feel, between Xbox and PlayStation. Correct me on that if I'm wrong. I think that's correct.
Yes. But then, there's more news.
Oh,
Video games cost different money.
Oh, God.
We are no longer in a state of one price fits all.
Nope, not at all.
The launch lineup has games that cost $40 and games that cost $80. Up is black, down is white.
And then some are $70, and then...
Some are $70, some are $60.
And then the Spider-Man, it's going to be on PS4 and PS5, but then it's a free upgrade. But if you own the PS4 base game on free PS4, there's no upgrade path for you at all.
So...
Which is shitty.
Right. We also... We forgot on the conference thing, on the video... They had the PS4 collection, the PS Plus collection,
which is nice. 18 games,
which is awesome.
High profile games for free when you get a PS5. Cool. Love it. And I think they're going to add more to that as it goes on, right? They're going to add more games to that collection.
So the difference here is, so a lot of people were saying, oh, Game Pass, they're just trying to do Game Pass. That's not what this is. This is not something they're going to continue to add to. This is like the Vita Instant Collection.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way for people for two things: a way for people who haven't played these games to be able to play them day one, at least seven of them day one on your PS5. But mm-hmm. also, if it gives the people who do own these games, like I own most of those games.
Same here.
But I own a lot of them physical.
Me too.
So. If I wanted to play those games physically on my PS5, I have to spend the extra $100 and get the disc version of the console. However, with this now instant collection, I now can make the choice to go all digital and know that those classic first party games and some third party games are going to come with me. That, I think, is the real reason why they did this, because they don't want to force people to buy the disc version just because their collection is physical.
Right.
Now, what third parties do for this is going to be a different story. Obviously, they've said that they've left it up to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, will they do a thing where, oh, it's clear you clearly bought this game. It's in your library, whatever. You just don't have the disc drive option, whatever. That's really what that's for. And it's not, as far as what we can tell, this is not an evolving library. This is not going to be added to. This is the collection. That's what it is. It's a collection of games, just like the Vita Instant Collection. They've done this before, but it's a great way to get new players a bunch of games that they could play.
Listen, it's 18 high-profile PS4 games.
Right.
Maybe you've got of War in there, Final Fantasy 15's in there, Resident Evil 7's in there, Battlefield 1's in there. So if you're waiting on those games, or again, if you're like us who bought them on the physical side now, okay, cool. Now I have a digital option. Great. Now it's like
right
at my fingertips. All these games are now available.
Right.
Amazing.
And there are a few that I skipped there. The Last Guardian I skipped.
Days Gone is on there. Another great first party game from Sony.
I have the disc of that, I think. But there are a bunch. There are a bunch of games on there that I did not play and that I just couldn't.
Again, that's all nice. There's a lot of niceness here. Like Demon's Souls, nice. Like God of War, nice. Spider-Man, nice. This is nice. There was so much ugly that I was so beside myself.
Instantly fucking followed it. It was so instantaneous. We didn't even have a second to be happy.
I couldn't even fucking enjoy this thing. I'm glad there was no Silent Hill.
Yeah. Would have ruined it. Anyway, PlayStation 5 is secured. Pre-order secured.
I take that back. I want a Silent Hill.
Also, we got measurements, and the PS5 is 15 and a half goddamn inches
tall. I want to get spotlights, like it's a building.
Yeah.
Like at the base of it.
Put them. Yeah.
Listen, I want to touch a little bit before you get on to the next bombshell that happened today.
We got
to
do. Yeah.
I am a little confounded by. I understand Sackboy. It's not a demanding game. I can see it being a PS4 and a PS5 game. Great.
Sure.
Fine. Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah. Okay. I can see it. It's not a full Spider-Man game. It's more like a Lost Legacy situation. And we're going to get a full Spider-Man 2 proper on PS5. Cool. Amazing. Horizon Forbidden West is the head scratcher. I'm trying to wrap my head around a game that we've seen nothing of, that has no looming release date at all, is going to be also a PS4 game. Is it out soon? Is that what that indicates to us? Is it out in 2 years? What sense does that make?
So we had theories. We were talking about this offline before the show, and I guess I could say, you know, speak about these theories out loud now.
Go ahead.
What I think happened here was, I think Miles Morales and Horizon Forbidden West were meant to be part of the PS4 swan song summer, the spring and summer, like the last of the PS4. What I think wound up happening was, I think they saw that COVID was kicking things down the road a little bit. And instead of holding on to it and saying, okay, well, now Horizon has to come out in February of 2021 after the PS5 comes out. And they could have known this as late as or as early as March last year. Because remember, Japan, China, you know where obviously not Forbidden West isn't being made there, but they knew COVID was worse than we did much earlier. So things on a production line could have got kicked down the road. So what I'm tinfoil hatting here is I believe they were part of – I think Spider-Man was supposed to be September and Forbidden West was supposed to be August and Ghost of Tsushima was supposed to be like June, July.
Well, that was supposed to be June before whatever it was. Last of Us took and place.
Last of Us was going to be the February, January, whatever it was early.
But that was February originally, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I think was supposed to happen. I think what wound up happening was when they said, hey, if we kick these cans down the road for PS4, they're going to come out way after PS5 has come out, like after launch window. Why don't we take what we have for the PS4 versions, throw in ray tracing, throw in the instant loading, throw in high res textures, throw in the 3D audio. What else did they say? I forget whatever it was. Throw in these like tangible enhancements, not just up-resing, tangible enhancements to these games and call them PS5 games. Mm-hmm. And I think, and where they kind of went wrong with this was touting them as PS5 games. Only this could be done on PS5.
Yeah. And then saying
later going back,
we believe in generations. But do you? Because now you don't, obviously, because these are major games. Like again, we can talk Spider-Man as it's an expansion of sorts. It's a lot of assets from the first game. I can see it being a cross-generation title without a huge impact.
Right.
But
I think
Horizon, again, I feel it's the most sticking point for me because we're not going to get a full developed on PS5 Horizon game for it looks like mid to late cycle for the PS1.
I don't know if that's accurate though, because Horizon Zero Dawn came out 2017? 2017, oh, I think.
3 years ago? No way. It's longer than that, dude. No, no, because it's like 3 years.
Same as Zelda.
I think it's like 2013.
Horizon. It came out the same year as Zelda.
Zelda what? Zelda
Breath of the Wild.
No way. I think you're wrong on that one. I think you're wrong.
No, I'm not. It came out the same year as Breath of the Wild. It came out within months, and it was always people saying Breath of the Wild is better. No, Horizon Zero Dawn's better. No, Breath of the Wild is better. They were.
Oh, you're correct. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only been 3 years.
3 years. That's what I'm saying. So they probably had PS5 specs by the time they finished Zero Dawn and were probably working on this for PS5, you know, with PS5 hardware in mind. What doesn't make sense to me is that why do you have to have these come on PS4 when you're treating it as an end also? Like, if that was your selling point to begin with, I would get it. You could say, hey, these great games are going to come on your PlayStation 4, but look at these enhancements we're making for PS5. This could only happen on PS5. Look at this instant loading. Look at this ray tracing. Look at this 3D audio. Look at these high-res textures. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. My God, shiny bells and whistles. That's what you can get on PS5. But we're not leaving our PS... Just like what Xbox did. We're not going to leave our past generation.
Say that. Just say that. Don't fucking lie about it. Don't be disingenuous.
Right. But what I'm thinking, the only way that this doesn't seem, the only way I could justify it as not disingenuous is if, and only if, this was a reaction to COVID and a reaction to things getting kicked around and pushed and
I can't buy that for Horizon. You haven't heard a peep, haven't seen a trailer or screenshot, an announcement.
But that might be why, though. Right. Because they didn't have anything to show, but promises.
Right. Right, but you could have shown something if it was in development. Like, if it's 2017 we're talking about, what, 3 years down the road, 3.5 years, more or less.
Right.
Like, at what point did that start on PS5 development? 2 years ago? A year and a half ago?
No. So, third parties, a year and a half ago, third-party devs that were not Sony first parties started reporting that they got benchmark specs for PS5.
Sure.
First party studios have that way before that. Mm-hmm. Way before that. So, no, I think it's 100% possible
that
God of War, maybe not Spider-Man.
You don't think if Horizon was meant to be as a swan song, it wouldn't have been at Sony's last year's E3 or prior to that, even to show it?
No, because they could have done it this E3.
No,
it could have
to come out this year?
Yes, they've. Yes, absolutely.
No, I do not believe that for a minute.
All they had to do was a 3 to 6 month hype window. It could have been a TGS thing the year before, and I'm telling you, something got screwed up with their timeline. That when you look at the architecture, all of the devs that are being interviewed about PS5 say the same thing. If you develop for PS4, it's a simple and easy transition to PS5. Being able to take these things and move them over, and it could be done. So there's no reason to think that these weren't built on the old hardware. Then they got the specs. It's like, okay, now we could start building upon that and build it up for a PS5 release. But things got a little fucking haywire. Now they're like, okay, well, we still have the PS4 base. We still know we could scale it to that. Let's put it out there too. I don't know.
You would have heard something about it before even things got screwy. Something. Sony is known for announcing things too early.
I mean, they announced
it. What were they holding back if that was the case? That's a huge.
I don't think Sony announces things too early.
They do all the time.
Square does.
Sure, but so does
Bethesda
Sony.
Does. Microsoft does.
When did we see?
I don't think so.
We saw Death Stranding fucking 4 years ago.
But the reason we saw Death Stranding,
what about Days Gone? What about fucking God of War even took a while to come out. They're notorious for that.
I don't know. I think they do like an 18-month cycle at most.
I know.
Nintendo does that, like, as Buzz Killington says. Metroid Prime 4.
The exception to that, I think, was Bloodborne. That was like, it was like E3 June out October the same year. That was the only time where Sony was like, you're getting it the same year it's announced. That was the only time it happened.
I don't know. We're going to have to look that up.
But bottom line, I think it's just, again, that's how you deflate a whole event. Because now it's like there were games that you thought were just going to be built from the ground up on PS5. It solidifies the whole, we like generations, we believe in generations. Now it's like, well, I don't see it now. Like, is it worth waiting for a PS5? Because now it's like Demon's Souls. If you don't like that game, you can wait for a PS5. That's what that convention told me.
Right.
If you're not going to buy Demon's Souls, you can skip that. Yeah, sure. But
we got some other things coming as well, but we'll see. All right. So then today,
we wake up
at 9 o'clock in the freaking morning,
Steven,
to ridiculous news.
Seismic.
Ladies and gentlemen, Xbox. Seismic. Microsoft has acquired ZeniMax, a.k.a. Bethesda, for $7.5 billion. Of course, before we get into this, the specifics are that this acquisition does not become official until second half of 2021. So do that with that what you will.
You know, it's funny. Some of my friends were like, well, it's not official. I was like, dude, it's official. It's happening. It's not happening now.
Things can still go wrong.
No, it's not going to happen. This is a locked and sealed.
It still needs to be approved and yada yada.
So it's happening. There's no way out of this. But go on.
So they acquire a $7.5 billion cash deal. Mm-hmm, this is going to add eight first-party Xbox studios, Bethesda Game Studios, who made The Elder Scrolls, Fallout, and upcoming Starfield, id Software, who makes Doom, Arkane, who made Prey and Dishonored, Machine Games, made Wolfenstein, Tango Gameworks, making The Evil Within, and several other studios. Mm-hmm. Now, IGN has a great article that I want to just read some of their highlights of, because they have the five takeaways from this. So if you want to read this, go to IGN.com and check out Ryan McCaffrey's. He's their Xbox guy. Check out his five takeaways. His first one is The Elder Scrolls 6 and among others might be Xbox exclusive now. Now he says might. We do know that the previously announced deals for timed PS5 exclusives on Arkane's Deathloop and Tango's Tokyo Ghostwire will be honored. Beyond that, Microsoft will have a lot of options. Elder Scrolls 6 and Starfield, which is really, and Starfield's expected late 2021 or 2022. So that could obviously be a thing. Todd Howard, this is a really weird one. Todd Howard is probably contractually locked in. Now, what this paragraph basically says is Bethesda being a private company, he probably has equity as being somebody that's there for 25 years.
Sure.
So he probably is like close to billionaire level status with the acquisition alone.
Yes, he is now a billionaire.
Yeah. So take that with what you will. He's probably contractually obligated. This is speculating that like how these types of things happen, that usually the creatives or the people that were running the thing that was acquired usually stay on for a couple of years to kind of like write out a transition period. Okay. Did this deal come out after the Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment deal came off the table? Do we think that that is a possibility?
No. These things don't come together this quickly if that was the case, because
they don't for public companies. Right. They do for private. Remember that this is a private, not publicly traded company. This doesn't have to be approved by anybody except for the owner of the company. So yes, it could be as simple as, hey, what do you think of $7.5 billion? Yes, sir. Thank you.
You think Microsoft had set aside $7.5 billion to acquire Warner and all their studios?
I think they have more.
Well, sure. Yeah, they had some billions laying around.
I think they have $10 billion, and I don't think they're done yet.
Oh no, they're not done yet. Not at all. Not by a long shot.
I think they're going to be buying other people. Because like I've been saying, if you can't make good games, buy the people that can. Moving on.
Does Bethesda make good games after Fallout?
I mean, they can. They can. They've been known to do a few. Xbox is now the home of the Western RPG. This is an interesting take because, man, they got Obsidian. Now they have Bethesda Game Studios.
Fallout New Vegas.
They have In Exile. They have Playground, who made Fable. In Exile makes Wasteland. Like, they have a lot of the games, the pedigrees that make the games I like. This also basically solidifies that Game Pass is going to be the best thing ever on the planet.
So that's my biggest takeaway was, as a Game Pass subscriber, I pay about $120 a year to Microsoft. And also announced today that that service has seen a 50% increase in subscribers in the past 6 months. That's 5 million more subscribers in 6 months, up to 50 million. So if that's their key platform, if they want to, if their goal is to increase the number of people playing on Game Pass, and they want to buy more studios and get their games day one on Game Pass, like now Bethesda's, all their games coming to Game Pass. I don't spend a fucking dime, and I get Bethesda, I get EA, and Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
How do you turn that down?
You don't.
You can't. You really can't turn that down.
To the people saying that these are like basically what's going to happen is they're going to be Xbox exclusives. Game Pass is the reason why I don't think they're going to be Xbox exclusive. I don't think Microsoft will leave that kind of money on the table.
No.
When they could make $30, $40, $50 a pop on these games, selling them on Steam, selling them on Epic, selling them on PS5, selling them on Switch. I don't think they're going to leave that money on the table, especially because they just spent $7.5 billion to do it.
People will still buy a PS5 in the masses.
Right.
And people will still want to buy, along with their Madden and their Call of Duty, the next Doom game. And they don't want to get a subscription service from Microsoft.
Right.
You don't want to leave that sale on the table.
Right.
And again, this is a lot like you would think Minecraft. It's a huge install base. And you can't just say, well, now we're shutting the door on those who bought this on Nintendo and PlayStation.
Right. Now, whenever people would make the argument about the Xbox exclusives like we have, Microsoft and Xbox have kind of said they've never addressed that, right? They addressed it a little bit with their conversations about, hey, we know things were rough this year. Or this generation, we know where we made mistakes. We're going to make games that are going to be great for Xbox players, yada, yada. They've at least acknowledged that much.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been, for the last 3 years, they've been doing nothing but shift the narrative, shift what they are, shift what their systems are meant to do. I think it was the Obsidian one, but this, I think, really nails it home.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are going to be focusing more on being a mega publisher than being a console manufacturer at this point.
It's one thing to scoop up studios to bolster, again, your Game Pass platform and to, you know, make your console more appealing, at least your cheaper version. Like that Xbox Series S looks way more appealing now than it did, you know, over the weekend. But to scoop up a publisher, you scooped up ZeniMax.
Right.
I think it's much bigger plans are in motion here.
Right. Which, by the way, ZeniMax said they are retaining publishing rights on all of their games currently in development.
Yes. But
what the fuck does that mean?
But also, they said future games would be a case-by-case basis as well.
Right.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Right. So I think this is going to be a simple, the same thing that they did with, what was it? Was it Master Chief Collection was on Steam?
Yes.
I think it's going to be like that. It's going to be like Minecraft. They're going to take their biggest ones that they know are going to that have multi-platform audiences. They're going to put them everywhere.
Right.
And they're going to just make a shit ton of money. I think that's really what it comes down to.
It's all going to come down to that. That's why, again, like making these games exclusive, folks seem to think that when you pay $7.5 billion, they have to be exclusive. How are you going to recoup that investment if you're locking out PS5 owners and Switch owners? From Doom and
it's Skyrim not sustainable. It isn't sustainable. However, however, I will say this. A lot of people were comparing this to how Sony acquires studios, and it's really not a comparable
situation.
Those
are apples and oranges.
Because Sony buys studios that are already making exclusive games for them. And then they become first party studios after that. They're not going out there and
it's
buying
like you're on a EA, sort of like you know? What's that term called? Probation.
Second party.
You're on probation.
Right.
It's like let's make some games for us, a second party, see how well you do.
It's a little different. Right.
You made us tons of money. We like you. We have a good partnership. Come part of the family.
Right. That's essentially what that is. This was you.
Yeah.
Yep. This was Microsoft going, here's our cock.
Here's a fucking...
It's massive.
It's a money bag.
Don't you want a piece of this big old cock? Don't you want a big old...
It's almost cartoonish.
My wacky inflatable flailing arm tube man
now,
penis. Don't you want a piece of that?
Here's the main question. Yes, here's the main question. Oh, yeah. That's going into the spank
that's going
bank.
On the old Instagram.
There seems to be chatter. Now, I want to say one thing, Steven, is I was surprised at the low level of toxicity that this announcement brought. People were happy. It was a positive overall news bit. I didn't see a lot of assholes or fanboys. They were there, but overwhelmingly, people thought it was a good thing, which I'm all about that. The other thing I want to say is people are now thinking, how does Sony respond to this? Who must they buy? And I'm just like, why? Do you really want this consolidation of studios? Like, have them owned by two or three major companies? Do you want this in your future, people? That's not a good idea.
But what I do want them to do, so I was thinking about this. Like, I was thinking, okay, buy Square Enix, right?
Uh-huh.
They love Final Fantasy. They have a great relationship. But then I was like, nay. Make a power play. Bring out their big old ham hock.
Mm-hmm.
And say, hey, Konami.
You know you read my fucking mind, Steven. It is the only one I would allow because you mentioned, you know, people will say Sega. Sega makes great games. They still make great games. We're going to have Sonic and Yakuza sitting on the shelf doing nothing for years on end. Buy Capcom. They're doing just fine. Resident Evil is great. I got a new Mega Man a few years ago. I love them. Awesome. Square Enix. They're doing lovely. We get great Final Fantasy games, you know, every 10 years or so. But Konami is fucking doing patchy slots at pachinko games and sitting on Contra, Castlevania, Metal Gear, Silent Hill, Bloody Roar, and the list goes fucking on. If it would take someone to buy them for us to get new games, I'm fine with that.
Just buy the IP.
Just buy it.
Just give them a big bunch of... Anyway, yeah, that's...
But again,
another stupid ass
this is just, again, this is a huge thing. This is the biggest piece of gaming news of the year, I feel.
For sure.
Nothing else topped this. And this is a day before the Xbox Next Gen console on pre-order.
They're Whew. Starting to go live, guys.
This like, is what,
getting them.
Again, this is what competition does. Microsoft was in a bad spot with the Xbox One. It's undeniable. It sold about half of the Xbox 360, and they had to turn shit around. They had to adapt and evolve. And that made a system that is called Game Pass. It is a huge benefit to us when companies don't get arrogant and don't expect your dollar. And they have to fight for that purchasing power. And that's the result is we have now, they're not fucking around. Making great calls, great plays, great strategies, buying up great talent, giving them, I would imagine, massive budgets to do so and do it well.
Yep.
And
100%.
All for us, the only ask is give us $15 a month and you can access all of this on your fucking phone, more or less.
Right.
So that's what happens when you're lagging behind and you're sick of being second or third place and you want to fight. So now I say to Sony, don't get complacent, compete, and answer. Not the same way. Don't buy fucking Sega and Capcom from Konami. I mean, you buy Konami, but make some moves. Because you can't sit around anymore. Yes,
just buy the IP from Konami. Buy the IP.
Yes.
Tell them you could still own all of the pachinko bullshit.
Yeah.
Make all the Silent Hill pachinko.
You can make all the money. Yeah, that's totally fine. You retain pachinko rights.
You have pachinko.
Make it a clause.
Any one of your IP you want to. As a matter of fact, we're going to let you have all of the Sony IP for pachinko machines. It's yours. It's part of the trade. You want to make it Uncharted pachinko? Go right ahead.
Go right fucking
Give us Silent Hill. God damn it. Give us Metal Gear. God damn it.
Could you imagine if they bought that show? Like, hey, Kojima, you want to do Metal Gear again? It's yours now. You can do whatever you want with it. Finish Metal Gear Solid 5. That's what you could do for us.
Yeah. Do me a favor. Finish that game. Because it's really... Can you make it a game? Would that be okay?
Can you give it an ending?
Beginning, middle, and end?
Can you give it more than two cutscenes that matter? Can you give it some dialogue? Can you write some dialogue for Snake, please?
Can you put some clothes on some of
these
women?
Here's some money just for Kiefer to come back in and record more than two fucking lines. How about that?
Yeah, that was great. What a waste of money that was. Holy fuck. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Oh, so last anyway, week, there was some Nintendo news that happened.
Yes. Hit us.
Listen, Monster Hunter Rise, that's all that matters. It's on the RE engine. And stories too. Looks phenomenal for a Switch game. Or a Switch Pro game. Mm-hmm. Who fucking knows? But that was a nice thing that came out recently. It's nice that we're getting awesome Switch games that are not first party that I can look forward to. And again, Capcom, doing great. No one's going to buy them. They support their IP. People buy their IP.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yes. Yeah, they showed that.
There were some more things too, but I think that was the main part of it.
Those are the two that because Stories 2 looks really cool too. It looks very it looks a little lighter, I guess you can say. I don't know.
Yeah.
It looks good. All right. My God. So
Steven,
breaking news, Andy.
I just got a DM on Discord from the publisher of that Midnight Castle Succubus game.
Yes.
So the developer doesn't speak English, Japanese only, but the publisher guy, he's into it. So yeah. This may be a guest in the near future on the show.
Oh boy. We don't have a show for Thursday, so
this could be it. This could be the show.
Do we have a show for Thursday?
We have some in the works, but it all depends on scheduling. But there will be a show. There's always a show on Thursday.
No,
that's our slogan.
I blocked off Wednesday night.
Aside from our new slogan, Dual Screens Podcast. There's always a show on Thursday.
You don't have to worry about that. If I have to get Patrick Hickey Jr. on for the fourth time, I'll do it. I'll call him up right now. All right. So before we get into the hype zone, I want to ask. Well, I'm going to ask. Open the floor to our chat if you have any news stories that you want to submit. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns that you want to write, now will be the time to type them up while we get into the hype zone. Mm. Oh boy, Andy. Speaking of hentai.
There was a theme. There's a theme today going on.
There is a theme.
It's really evident here today in the hype zone.
It's a sexy theme.
Oh, that's right, Buzz. Disgaea 6 and Ori is now on Switch. Woo! And the sequel, right? Was it the Will of the Wisps? That's part two? That's
what that one's called. Wisps. Wisps. Wispy wisps. Wisps. All right, Andy, take us into the hype zone.
Oh boy. Steven.
Yeah.
Nintendo has given us some great memories.
They have.
They've made some great decisions throughout their decades in the gaming industry. But today, they made a not so great decision. Dare I say they struck a blow.
They did.
To gamers across the globe.
Disrespectful is what it was.
This comes courtesy of Kotaku.com, a great website where you should all go to for your gaming news. Quote, For almost 8 years, an incredibly NSFW game called Peach's Untold Tales has been available to play. But it's only this month that Nintendo's lawyers moved on the game, issuing a DMCA notice against it on GitHub. Now, why would a game with such an innocent title be taken down? Here's the reason why.
Tell me, Andy.
And I quote here. I'm not going to link the game here, but maybe we should in the chat below for our listeners.
Maybe. Maybe you will.
But I looked it up for this post. And the player basically splits their time between some rudimentary platforming and the gallery section where, well, all kinds of Mario characters can fuck.
Yeah.
And here's the best quote of all. I will never spiritually recover from watching a Goomba get jerked off. Nintendo, you're killing me. I mean, you do good things for us.
You're removing all the joy in the world.
You know, I thought maybe I could look past Mario 3D All-Stars with this whole Monster Hunter Rise situation. Look great. You got Ori sequel on the Switch right now. All right, maybe you're not so bad. But then you go and pull this.
Right.
Now, Steven, we've been very tinfoil hat heavy on this show tonight.
We have, yeah.
And I think in the last show you mentioned that the Mario Brothers Battle Royale game was taken down.
That was two shows ago, yeah.
Yes, was taken down because of the plan for Mario Brothers 35.
Yep.
It's like, well, we got our own Battle Royale. We'll knock this one off and we'll install our own as a proper one. I submit to you, Stephen and listener, that Nintendo is indeed working on their own adult XXX version of Peach. And that's why this game was taken down.
Total wild ride.
Yeah, that's it, dude. It writes itself.
But Mario, Princess Peach's thirst is insatiable. I can't stop it. There's only so much mushroom to go around, Mario.
You'll never stop doing this show because moments like this are worth it all. Steven, take us home.
All right. Well, we got some stuff in the chat here. Buzz Killington says the MS console streaming is out today for xCloud if you use your own console and library. And they showed off new accessories, including a USB-C controllers and fast charge rechargeable batteries. Those were also announced today. Let's scroll up a little bit. Let's see. Mikey Kerr says it also might be unsustainable for Game Pass to support this many first-party AAA developers, so allowing games to be multi-platform might take some of that pressure off.
Yeah,
which is essentially what we were saying.
Again, it's the long game for Microsoft. Again, Game Pass is not a profitable system for them yet. Now they just plunked down $7.5 billion in acquiring ZeniMax. This is they're building their streaming infrastructure with xCloud. I think this is the long game with them. So give it time for it to pay off. And I think gatekeeping Bethesda games is not the way to go for profitability. Right. So yeah, but go on.
That's really it. That's all. That's the chat doesn't have a lot for us today. I'll give them some more time by getting into.
Oh, I see over here we have Adre 21 about the new controllers will still use batteries. Yes, they will.
Yeah,
they will.
People love batteries.
I guess I don't get it. I mean,
they love it.
I don't get it, dude.
So I forgot to post the Facebook group question again.
Oh, that's all right.
So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it now.
I would say, are you buying an Xbox or a PS5?
That's exactly what I'm going to do. So now that pre-orders are out for both, which did you or do you plan on securing? Here we go. Let's hit the thing. I want to do a poll. Where's the poll? I don't see it. Okay, where's the poll? I want a poll.
I got your poll right here.
How do I do a poll? Does it not work? Discard. I can only do feeling activity. Like, what's going on here? Create post. Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, for crying.
Oh, I'm in the wrong one. I'm sorry. I was in the dual screens thing. I wasn't in Nintendo dual screens. Or the dual screens podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing while you're doing that, Steve. Buzz mentioned crossovers. And I want to see Microsoft make the most out of this situation. I want to see fucking Doomguy and Halo. You know what? Bring back Killer Instinct and just use all your new IP characters that are in these bot franchises. Use them all. Get them all in there. I want to see Battletoads. I want to see Doomguy. I want to see Psychonauts. I want to see all of it. Or do a fighting game. Hire fucking NetherRealm to make you a fighting game. Do a Smash game with all your new shit. Just fucking
instead of
it.
A Smash, do an arena, an Overwatch arena.
Do shooter. Something with it.
With all your shooter characters.
Do a kart racer for all I care. Do a chess game. Just have fun with it. Like, listen, you'll make your money hand over fist with this deal. It's gonna happen. Like, what regressible fanboys say. but have some fun with it. Get some. I want to see some Doom skins in Halo, or Halo skins in Doom. Just go wild because you can, and people love that shit. I'm not gonna lie, and they'll pay for that shit too.
The question is posted, so we don't forget. Because I keep forgetting.
I think we just secured interview for Thursday for Wednesday with this.
Oh boy,
fucking hentai game. I think it's happening.
Oh boy. This is the one. This is the one that's going to make us
listen, people. When we got Obsidian Games on this podcast, we said we would grow up, but we grew up too fast, and now we're going to adult themed games. So we skipped over all sensibility and AAA. We did it once; it was good. We moved on, and now we're going to hentai because sex fucking sells.
It's true.
It's for the win.
If this is the one, if this is the one that does the most, it's got to beat like $5,000. So if it beats $5,000 listens,
it's all about the thumbnail, Steven. It's all about the thumbnail.
Oh, what is this thumbnail going to be? Oh, Jesus Christ. Just, oh, no.
You've seen the game.
Oh, no. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Dual Screens Gamescast. Thank you for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I'm at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is called at facebook.com/groups/DS Podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitch, where we record this show live each and every week, go to twitch.tv/DualScreenStreams. And if you are here on twitch.tv/DualScreenStreams and you like what you see, please hit that heart button and give us a follow. And if you feel like it, maybe subscribe. It's September. So, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Head over to youtube.com/DualScreensTV. Give us a sub over there. Thumbs up on this video if you're watching it there. Thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you to Zazu Pits of Sound No Productions for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay and logos. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art and stuff like that. Again, if you want to be a supporter of the show, you can do so by going to you can go to patreon.com/NDS Podcast. And if you want to buy some merch, go to dualscreens.com/store. All right, Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
No, we're going to have hentai games on the show, so look forward to that immensely.
This is good.
We do this all for you. Don't forget that. And for ourselves, too, but mainly for you.
Jeff Keighley has just tweeted, hours ago.
Oh, good God.
Tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific time, Xbox Series X and S pre-orders open up. What are you planning on hoping to order? 33% said Series X. 7% said Series S. 60% said nothing.
Oh my God. Okay, cool.
And that was 40,000 votes. 41,000 votes.
Oh boy.
That's a nice little sample size. All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Andy, thank you.
Thank you
to our chat. Thank you to you listeners. We love you very much. And as always, please be excellent to